Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Luke, the 24th chapter. Two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Dear friends of Christ, I think we can relate to these Emmaus disciples, and like I told the kids, we don't know who these two were. We call them the Emmaus disciples because they were on the way there. But these two guys were filled with grief and sorrow, and we know what that's like in our lives. There are moments where we too are overwhelmed with waves of grief and disappointment, sorrow and sadness. They sweep over us like waves, and they knock us over. During those times when grief pins us down and leaves us feeling empty inside, we tend to lose heart, and we tend to lose hope. We feel defeated, depressed, down, exhausted. And some people, during these times, even lose the will to live. What do you do when life gets you down? Have you ever tried turning to Jesus? I hope you have. I mean, that's what we all want to do, right? Is when life knocks us down, turn to the one who has a solution. And surely you've experienced that when you were down and then God lifted you up. When you were down and maybe weak and God's word came to strengthen you. And well, we all have those moments. Those moments when God shows up in his word to tell us, to remind us again, even in the midst of the brokenness, how greatly loved we are by God. But let's go back to the Emmaus disciples here. They're traveling. I want you to picture yourself on the road. Not with them, but on your own road. It's your road of life. And your journey along that road, it's not going well at the moment. And those kind of times happen. May not be happening to you right now, but in this road, it's not smooth. There are potholes and there are difficulties and challenges. In fact, for you, the road is quite uncomfortable. But you're traveling anyway, and that's the way it was for the two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus the day of Christ's resurrection. And we are told they were walking with each other and talking about everything that had happened. Everything that had happened. All the bad stuff. Now, I want you to walk on that road again, right? In your picture, it's the ugly road of life. You see Jesus on that ugly road. Now, you picture him there, and he's coming toward you. You picture him coming toward you. Not only does he come toward you, he engages himself with you. He talks with you, and then he walks with you. Now, as he does that, he begins to remind you of all the promises that God has given you in your life. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did with these two disciples. They were walking, it was a bad day. They had been listening to the bad things. Listen, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to Jesus. Bad things happen to God's people. The death of Jesus seemed bad. The death of Jesus seemed hopeless. They saw the bad. They couldn't see the good. Like a piece of the puzzle. But they couldn't see the big picture. Life is like that. They couldn't see God's hand reaching down to help them. They couldn't see God's hand reaching down to save them. They were caught up in the grief and the loss and the pain. They were caught up in the journey of the road. And they didn't understand the cross, they didn't understand the empty tomb. Sometimes we're like that. We can get so caught up, we don't understand the cross and the empty tomb. Oh, we understand it, but we don't live in it. What a challenge. We have a difficulty seeing God when things are bad. Now, I'm not saying the cross wasn't bad. The cross was bad. But we say when bad things happen, how can bad come out? How can something good come out of all the bad that's happening? How can something good come out of this? How can something good come out of the cross? How can something good come out of my pain? And yet, Jesus shows up to walk with them. How can something good come out of the cross? And there he is walking with them, as he talked about all the bad things. Our text says, Jesus came near to them and walked. I love those words. I love them so much, I'm going to base my sermon text on it. Jesus came near. Jesus walks beside us, is our theme. Do you know why Jesus showed up to talk to these two disciples? What do you think? They needed help. They were hurting. It's evident. Jesus was there to help them. He was there to encourage them, get them through their sorrow, get them through their grief and pain, to show them God's promises, to show them his love, to show them God's plan, to show them God's purpose, to show them God's victory. The big picture, not just a piece of the puzzle. How many times has Jesus done that in your life? Yeah, think back. How many times has God's word shown up just at the right time with just the right things to say? Just at the right time with just the right words. And how many times has his word comforted you in your sorrow? Lifted you up in your fear? Eased your anxiety? Unfortunately, we don't always acknowledge that. Even though Christ does give us those moments where we see and we respond, we tend in the moments where we're dealing with one piece of the puzzle to forget all that. And we may not even recognize that he's walking right here beside us. We don't recognize him. We live instead in the sorrow, in the fear, and the anxiety of the moment. This is the way it was for the Emmaus disciples. All they saw was the road on which they were traveling. That's what they were focused on. The sorrow, the despair, the discouragement, the darkness. Our text says they stood still looking sad. They were sad. They were so bound up in grief they couldn't see Jesus. Even though Jesus was right there beside them. Luke says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The Greek gives us an idea that their eyes were pinched shut so that they were prevented from being able to understand who he was, to identify him. Jesus had work to do. He had to open their eyes. He had to come. Even though he's walking with them, these two guys have been talking about the events of Good Friday, and they'd seen horrific things. They'd seen a lot of bloodshed, Jesus' horrific death, and they were literally just throwing words out, like people do when they're grieving, just throwing words out when people don't know what to say, so they just start saying everything in their grief and sorrow and their frustration. They throw out angry words like people do with their family and friends. They just pour it out. This is my piece of the puzzle, and this is what's going on right now. And they told Jesus all the sort of details. How could you not know about all these things that have happened in Jerusalem? How could you not know? That's what happens when we deal with one piece of the puzzle. We take that one piece of the puzzle. We don't see the big picture of the empty tomb. We don't see the picture of eternal life. And we ask the question, how could you not know? We expect people to know when we're hurting. I mean, it's so painfully obvious to us. We're going through it. We know what's going on. We expect people to know what's going on too. The wounds are so real. Why don't they understand? Why doesn't God understand? But remember, God always knows. Remember the big picture. Remember the resurrection. Remember the empty tomb. Jesus walks beside us. And the disciples, they attempted to explain to Jesus all the details of that past week, and they spewed out these words. Our chief priests and rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death, and they crucified him, but we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hope. We had plans. We had thoughts. We had desires. We had all kinds of dreams. And what's worse, he died. And worse, he said he'd rise, and he's not here. He's not here. You know, without Easter, there's no hope. And what's worse, he's not here. Without Easter, there's no joy. Without the resurrection, there's no life, there's no future. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. But Jesus wants us to see the big picture, doesn't he? The big picture. He wants you to put that big picture in your mind when you're dealing with difficult things, when you're having those trials, and life is dealing, giving you nasty blows, one right uppercut after another. You didn't get the job you wanted. Your marriage isn't going the way you want it to go. If you've lost a loved one, or you're depressed, you're lonely, you feel his life has been wasted, maybe you haven't lived up to the goals you expected for yourself. And what now? Sometimes it's difficult to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes it's difficult just to keep going on this road of life. It's difficult to see Jesus, that he's walking right there beside us. Paul gives this prayer to help us understand and help us get through the times of trial. I pray, he says, that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with his power through his Holy Spirit within your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you then, being rooted and established in Christ's love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that his love surpasses knowledge. Do you know the fulfillment of this prayer happens every time we live by this truth? Jesus walks beside us. That's the big picture. Again, picture yourself walking on that road of life. It's difficult, right? There's the challenges. It's an ugly road. It's tough. But Jesus is there. He's walking with you and talking with you. What difference does that make? Does it make any difference at all? Of course it makes a difference. The resurrected Christ is here for us, here for you. And that's why the Bible exhorts us to be strong, be courageous, do not fear, for this is the Lord your God who goes with you. He gives us many promises like that. The Lord who goes with you. That we might grasp how high, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. You know, the road in which you travel, it's never going to be free from sorrow. Never going to be free from grief or pain. Or you're going to have those moments of weakness. However, that road will also never be without the Christ. Before Jesus entered into heaven, he promised, "Lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the age." No matter how bad things get, know this, Jesus walks beside you. He walks in your pain, he walks in your tears, he walks in your hurt, he walks in your grief. Notice how Jesus helped these sad disciples. Notice what he does to get them past their grief. Notice how he turns their sorrow into joy. Jesus told them the painful truth. How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? He called them foolish. Now, I don't like being called foolish. Probably deserve to be called foolish many times, but I don't like it. Especially when it's true. Apparently, it's foolish to walk in sorrow. It's not foolish to cry. It's not foolish to grieve. It's okay to cry and it's okay to grieve. It's foolish not to see Christ there walking beside you. To grieve as if we have no hope. To go through life as if we only have a piece of the puzzle. And Jesus says, don't be so foolish. Look to the cross. See the cross. See the empty tomb. Live in the big picture. Don't live your life as if this one piece of the puzzle is all that exists, because God's working it all together for your good. Don't be so foolish. Look what I've done for you. The empty tomb, see how much I love you, how much I care. Eventually, the Emmaus disciples, walking on that journey, they got it. Our text says their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus vanished from their sight, but Jesus did not vanish from their lives. He walks with them. He walks beside us. Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes. Let the word of faith enable you to see Jesus. And when the disciples finally saw Jesus, it changed them. And they rejoiced. They didn't even stay in Emmaus. Within the hour, they were on the road again. It was night. It was night. And in the darkness, they ran to Jerusalem. And out of breath, they arrived with a message. It's true. The Lord is risen. Don't hide the greatest moment in history in your heart. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Oh, it's true. We're traveling on the road to Emmaus every day. And that road is a challenge. But Jesus travels with us. And sorrows will come. But Jesus will always be there. Christ is alive and he walks beside you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus and life everlasting. Amen.